I'm standing in the exhibition hall of the Czech Senate, and in front of me is an official copy of the Munich Agreement, the notorious 1938 document which ceded much of the Czech territories, the Sudeten territories, to Nazi Germany. I'm looking at it, it's a four-page document that's written in German, with several sort of points to it. At the very bottom of it is the signatures of Adolf Hitler, Neville Chamberlain, Mussolini, and one other signature. This form of appeasement didn't work and ended up leading to the Second World War. And that's what we'll be looking at in today's talking point.
March 15th, 1938. Ecstatic crowds greet German leader Adolf Hitler in Vienna following the annexation or Anschluss of Austria by Nazi Germany.
Deutsche Männer und Frauen, ich proklamiere die älteste Ostmark.
Germans, men and women, I proclaim that these German lands of the German people will from now on be the youngest bastion of the German people and thereby of the German Reich.
The perceived humiliation of the post-World War I Versailles Treaty was finally being forgotten as a new aggressive Germany sought to create its own empire, at first populated by bringing together all German-speaking peoples. But the next logical target was the Sudeten territories of Czechoslovakia, which had a majority German population numbering around 3 million. There, this minority looked to Germany's newfound prosperity and strength and compared that to their own living conditions. Ondřej Matějka is a specialist on the history of the Sudeten lands. He explains.
The Germans, till now, they are convinced that their living conditions in the Czechoslovakia were unbearable. As a Czech, I would say that it's not true, because Czechoslovakia was between the wars one of the last democracies in the Central Europe, and that means that basic rights were secured for them.
But the Nazis were already gaining a foothold within the Sudeten land, as ethnic Germans there continued to complain, with some justification, that the country's economic policies favoured the Czech majority. Elections in 1938 saw around 80% of Germans voting for Konrad Heinlein's Sudeten German Party. The 20% that didn't essentially vote for the Nazis is often conveniently forgotten in Czech history. Yet the clear trend put the very territorial integrity of Czechoslovakia at risk. Ondřej Matějka again.
The reason why the Germans in the Czechoslovakia mainly voted for the Nazis was actually they have never accepted the existence of Czechoslovakia. 1918, for them it was something like a disaster, and only very slowly they have started to live together with the new state to accept it.
The British and the French were becoming worried. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain visited Germany several times to plead with Hitler, but to no avail. On the 10th of September 1938, the Czech President Edvard Beneš addressed the nation.
Drazí spoluobčané, mluvím k vám ve chvíli mezinárodních těžkostí.
My fellow citizens, I am addressing you at a time of international crisis, the largest since the World War. These events have not only engulfed Europe, but also other parts of the world. At this critical moment, I'm talking to you about us, about our standing in the middle of this anxious world. And I'm talking to you all, to Czechs, Slovaks, Germans, and to other nationalities, and within this, to all groups, to all camps, to all positions.
Yet for all the pleas and international machinations, with France, Czechoslovakia's perceived guarantor, and Britain not prepared to go to war to prevent the apparent unification of the German people, the Czech people prepared for conflict. Ondřej Matějka explains.
The Czechoslovak people in September 1938 were ready to fight. On the 23rd of September there was a mobilization and the people were really excited that they are going to fight, because it was after months and years of a political pressure from the side of Germans, and it was clear that the process is going towards war.
Troops were sent to the borders, and Czech border fortifications were immediately consolidated. Concrete bunkers on the border were placed on alert, and barbed wire border posts were strengthened. If German troops were going to cross the steep hills along the border, it would not be without a fight. But that scenario proved to be short-lived. On the 29th of September 1938, Neville Chamberlain took his final trip to Germany, desperate to avoid war. At the airport, wary of a populace resisting conflict, he spoke of his hopes for peace.
When I was a little boy, I used to repeat, if at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again. That's what I'm doing. When I come back, I hope I may be able to say, as Hotspur says in Henry IV, out of this nettle danger, we pluck this flower, safety.
Chamberlain was driven through cheering crowds in an open-topped car through the streets of Munich with the German Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop. During the meetings, a proposal was hammered out by Hermann Göring and Benito Mussolini and presented to Chamberlain and French Prime Minister Edward Daladier. Czechoslovakia was not invited to the talks. In Munich, the ultimate plan was signed by Britain, France, Italy and Germany, a plan that simply gave the Sudeten lands to Germany. The Czechoslovak government was dismayed but powerless and accepted the plan the following day. While British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain was greeted as a hero in Britain for securing peace in our time, Hitler was already feeling that he had somehow been betrayed. German forces crossed into Sudeten Czechoslovakia largely unopposed, greeted by most of the German populace, who threw flowers at the advancing soldiers. With Czechoslovakia's border defences penetrated, the rest of the country lay bare and utterly defenceless in front of Nazi Germany. Andrzej Matejka again.
I think in Czech culture since that there is a strong frustration because we were the neighbors of Germany and we were the first who will be attacked, and the French have thought that they are insured if they sell Czechoslovakia that the Hitler will have enough, and the Czechs and Poles have seen that that's nonsense because that Hitler will want more.
And that debate, 70 years on, appears to be as lively as ever.
You can in the newspaper read a discussion about this question, should we have fight or not, and everybody has his own opinion. I think there are quite many people who would say we should have fight because of course we would lose. It was obvious because nobody would help us, even France, even Great Britain, but you have had the possibility to fight, and it's better to die while you are fighting than to die in a concentration camp.
While opinions on that issue may differ, it is with a far greater conviction that a vast majority of Czechs continue to feel that the Munich Agreement was a most shameful betrayal of their country by the Western powers, and it was this betrayal that led ultimately to a slow and perhaps even understandable shift towards the promise offered by the Soviet Union in the post-World War II climate. After the horrors unleashed by the Munich Agreement, or Munich Dictate in Czech, the later humiliation of the Bohemian and Moravian Protectorate, and the partial redemption offered by the Czech assassination of German Reich Protector Reinhard Heydrich in 1942, the horrors were far from over. As the liberation from Nazi rule came, another dark, humiliating and hopeless chapter in Czech history was about to be unleashed, and again the country found itself the helpless target of a larger power.